Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
In the last two verses of the book, God is going to draw a conclusion and give us the bottom line for everything that's been said. But before doing that, he wants to make sure that we understand that the words of this book are reliable. So we've got a little paragraph here on that. And that's important because many interpreters have doubted whether you can trust what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes. Very often, you get these theories like, well, this book of Ecclesiastes, it's all about what not to do. Right? It's, you've heard that. He's running after, he's trying to find satisfaction in all the wrong things, and the whole book is about what not to do. And he's trying to enjoy life, and that's the wrong approach. And then finally at the end, you get the right approach, and the narrator corrects him. And people say that very often. They think it's Solomon saying, don't make the same mistakes I did. And so God, at the end of the book, tells us, no. The preacher is right on. And I got numerous commentaries in my office that say the preacher is way off. he says right here, no. And notice, it's not the preacher that is speaking here. He speaks through the whole book, and then now at the very end, God speaks about the preacher, and he lets us know, you can trust the preacher. Verse 9. And if you weren't here in the early part of the book, the writer of Ecclesiastes, I believe it's Solomon, he calls himself the preacher all through the book. Look at verse 9. In addition to the preacher being a wise man, he constantly taught the people knowledge. So, were there some periods of failure in Solomon's life? Yes, absolutely. We know that for sure. But by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we know that whatever point of his life that he wrote this book was not one of those times of failure. He was being wise, and the implication is that this book is the product of that wisdom. Solomon was wise, and he was an amazing man. It says he constantly taught the people knowledge. He learned that from his father David, who also, even though he's king, functioned as a pastor for the people, we read in 2 Samuel 5. Solomon was the same way. He taught the people. He took time. He didn't just sit on his throne all day. He came and he taught the people constantly. That term translated wise man, evidently that was a technical term and to refer to a particular role in the ancient world of an expert. There was a class of men known as sages or wise men who were very highly regarded and looked up to. They were the experts, and Solomon was in that group. He was one of them. And so it's saying he's a wisdom expert. You can bank on what he says in this book, verse 9. He weighed and explored and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful sayings and write words of truth accurately. Now, according to 1 Kings 4:32, Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. That is just mind-blowing. Try that sometime. Try to write 50. I mean, if you just try to come up with 50 proverbs, it is not easy. So to come up with a book like the book of Proverbs is an astonishing thing. But even Proverbs, that's only 500 or so. His full collection was 3,000. Plus, he was a musician that wrote over 1,000 songs in his spare time. And he didn't just collect these proverbs. It says he weighed, explored, and arranged them. And it's one thing just to gather a bunch of them together, gather a bunch of information. It's another thing to organize it into an arrangement that's useful. That's critical with proverbs because a proverb in the wrong context does more harm than good. Proverbs 26:9 says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Fools who get a hold of a proverb actually become dangerous because they don't have the wisdom to apply it in the right context. But Solomon did. He not only gathered these thousands of proverbs, but he taught the people how to apply them in the right context. He was a great teacher. Verse 11, the sayings of the wise are like goads, and those from masters of collections are like firmly embedded nails. So a couple things here about wisdom and wisdom literature and how it's useful. Proverbs. A goad, if you don't know, is a cattle prod. Okay, so in our day, we have electric ones. We have ones they deliver an electric shock, like a taser. Back then, they just used a sharp stick, a stick with a sharp metal point on the end. and jab the thing. Point is, you got to, somehow or another, you got to inflict pain on the thing. You got a 2,000-pound animal that decides it doesn't want to move. Gentle nudges aren't going to do it, right? You got to have an instrument that's going to make that thing decide to move. Words of wisdom work the same way. They're like a goad. Sometimes my flesh is like a big, fat, stubborn cow that won't move. And my laziness or my greed or lust or pride or whatever, I want to move in one direction. And wisdom has to come along with a sharp point and a cattle prod and force me back in the right direction, right? Towards God's way. We need wisdom to get us moving in those times when we just naturally don't want to move. It's ironic that we have to be goaded and poked with a cattle prod to do what the writer is calling us to do in the book of Ecclesiastes, because what is the writer calling us to do in the book of Ecclesiastes? Enjoy life, right? Why do I need to be goaded and poked and jabbed into enjoying life? Well, it's because the path to the deepest and richest and most profound enjoyment of life is a hard path at the beginning. It does not look fun. It's a path that we would never naturally guess would lead towards pleasure. The path of fearing God and living for His pleasure does not naturally look to us like the highway to enjoyment. We see another path, the path of indulging our immediate impulses and living without reference to God and fearing man and pleasing self and all that. We see a path where death isn't in view. It's forgotten, and the curse and the fall and the futility of life are ignored like they're not there, and the gifts of this life are all treated like they're ours to keep. That path, that looks really attractive to us. It looks wonderful, and we think, ah, there's the path to joy. And Solomon has to let us know that path, it looks like it's leading to joy. It leads to disaster and death. And so every time I start wandering down that path, Solomon gives me another shot in the ribs with a taser, a sharp stick to remind me of, don't forget about death, Daryl. Don't forget about the curse. Don't forget about the fall and futility and life under the sun. Remember this stuff. Get back onto this other path, the one that leads to real joy. Trusting God in His way. So that's one thing wisdom will do for you. It's a cattle prod. The other thing is it says it's like firmly embedded nails. Proverbs have a way of just pounding themselves into the wood of your soul. They stick, right? Wisdom principles are for making decisions in life. That's what they're for. And so you need them on the go. You can't just refer back to your notes in your Bible when you have to make all decisions all day long. You need to make decisions on the go. And so when somebody can take a whole big, complex, abstract principles and all the implications and boil it all down to a short, pithy, little catchy statement that's easy to remember, you can just kind of put that in your pocket and take it with you, and it just embeds itself like a nail in a 2x4. And you remember it. Wisdom sayings are valuable, and Solomon is a reliable teacher of wisdom because, like all writers of Scripture, his wisdom is coming directly from God.
What are the areas in your life where you need to be goaded over and over towards the path of joy? And why is that? What's gone wrong in your belief system that makes you reluctant to go towards what you know is the path of joy and follow some other path that Scripture says is not the path of joy? What's wrong in your beliefs that requires goading in that area? Hope you can tune in next time. We'll be talking about the sufficiency of God's Word. This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com. Or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.